Beloved children's book author Kate DiCamillo will be in our region next Friday as she presents her new novel, Rainy Nightingale, in a Northshire bookstore event on Friday, April 15th at 6 o'clock at the Saratoga City Center. DiCamillo is a two-time Newbery medalist who returns to her roots with the story of an unforgettable summer friendship. Rami Clark has come to realize that everything, absolutely everything, depends on her. And she has a plan. If Rami can win the Little Miss Central Florida tire competition, then her father, who left town 2 days ago with a dental hygienist, will see Rami's picture in the paper and maybe come home. The new novel is Rainy Nightingale. Kate DiCamillo will be at the Saratoga City Center next Friday, and she joins us on the roundtable this morning. Kate, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me.
It's wonderful to talk to you. Always wonderful to have you on the program. This is a personal story. What brought you to it and wanting to tell it?
Well, I didn't set off to make it as personal as it turned out to be. The book is kind of centers around a contest called the Little Miss Central Florida Tire Contest. And so that was the first thing that came into my head. And I thought, oh, that'll be funny. It'll be a funny book because it's, you know, a ridiculous name for a contest. And then I had Rainy's name, and I put this child who's very much like me into that contest. But then I thought, why would a kid like me enter a contest like that? And as soon as I asked that question, then I started to get into a little bit deeper waters and more personal waters, because Rainy wants to enter the contest because her father has left the family and she wants to make and come back home. She thinks if she wins, we'll see her picture in the paper and he'll return. So here we are.
And this idea that Little Miss Central Florida Tire.
See, it's kind of funny, isn't it?
It is. It's great. It's so rich and wonderful that could save the day. And yeah. And to your point, it is fun. And I assume then once you have that idea, it's fun to think of the possibilities.
Right. And it's just that the possibilities quickly flew out of my hands and went in a totally different direction. Because the other thing I didn't anticipate was it's not just Rainy's story. It's also the story of two girls that she meets in baton twirling class. It's Beverly Topensky and Louisiana Elefante. So when I sat down to write, I had no idea that those girls were going to show up. And so it becomes a much more complicated and hopefully richer story, because it becomes ultimately, I think, a story about the power of friendship.
And that idea of a summer friendship and what happens over that period of time, and ultimately what an impact it can have on your life overall.
Absolutely. And, you know, that takes us back to the autobiographical elements for me. I mean, the story is entirely made up, but also it's very much the emotional truth for me. And the emotional truth is that as a kid and as an adult, I was lucky enough to have friends who showed me how to be in the world and stood beside me. So this book is for them.
So the idea for Rami of this contest is this fits into the grand plan to get her father's attention. But as you pointed out, this is very much outside of her comfort zone.
Absolutely. And, you know, there are these three girls. Each of them has characteristics that belong to me, but Rainy is very, very, very much like I was as a kid. And boy, did I not belong in the Little Miss Orange Blossom contest, which is where I ended up. I don't know. My mother's gone. I can't ask her what she was thinking, because she saw clearly the kind of kid I was. I don't know why I was in that contest. And mercifully, I remember virtually nothing that happened in it, except one moment, a flashbulb memory of standing on the stage and thinking, man, I should not be here. And I was right. I did not belong on that stage.
And we can take that two ways, right? We can look at it as at the time and say, or even as an adult and look back at it and say, well, we can become the person who becomes comfortable in that situation, or we're going to make damn sure we never put ourselves in that situation again.
Right. You know, and it's funny when you say that, because I think here I am going out and putting myself on stage and I don't even have a baton to hide behind, you know. So that's kind of like a terrifying insight on your part. And I, you know, I am still an introvert, and it's interesting that I get up on stages and talk to people. Are you trying to tell me not to do that?
No, I'm telling you that you well, it may not be baton twirling, but it's still your beautiful writing that you get to read from and share. And one of the things that I believe even one of your big fans, Dean Koontz, told me a long time ago, which is the great thing about a book signing, is usually the only people who show up are people that like you anyway.
That's true. You know, some people want to be convinced, and, you know, and the funny thing is, I'm always thinking that the stories are way better than myself as a person. So people always say, oh, I'm so excited to meet you. And I want to go, oh, don't be, you know, the best part of me is on the page. Wait a minute. Now I'm also like, the publicity's not going to like that. Yes. Come to book signing. Just, I'm an introvert, and shoot, you know what I'm trying to say.
I do know what you're trying to say.
That is the best part of me, and the books actually make me better than I am. I become a better person by writing them. So, anyway, yeah.
So,
and tell Dean Koontz, hey, he has been so wonderful to me.
He really, I know he's a big fan of your work. You know, this is fascinating because, as you say, this kind of left you. It left your hands and just took a direction that you didn't expect. And you do write, the similarity here is you're growing up in the mid-70s, in your case, in Central Florida, and your father leaves the family. So,
yeah.
So this has a profound impact. And do you even realize it? To the point when you started writing about it of how much this was still with you and guiding you and something that you were still cogitating.
Cogitating is one of my favorite words. and people don't use it very often.
No.
So I greet you as a fellow cogitator and user of cogitation as a word. I realize well, you know, the funny thing is, like, in preparation for this book, going out into the world and doing the interviews and talking about where it came from, so much of it is, you know, because I did 2 years as national ambassador. And so I did a lot of travel, and I went around, and I had a PowerPoint where I talked to the kids about how I became a writer. And I talked a lot in that PowerPoint about myself as a kid. And so, I have a slide where it's my mother and my brother and me soon after we moved to Florida. And this is when my father left the family. And I say, who's missing in that photo? And so I, all over the country, I stood up there and talked to kids about that. And so I think that, I wonder what the question was.
I know if you need help, but that's okay.
So I didn't, you know, it's so close to home, but yet I had been standing up there and saying these words out loud to kids. And so it was, in a way, a relief to put it on the page.
Do you think, and this is much like the earlier question of do you think that writing it helped you work through it, or it is because you work through it that you were able to write it?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. That's a question for therapy. I think it's some of both. And you know, sometimes when I talk to the kids, they will make this connection. They'll raise their hand because there were, you know, a couple of critical things. One, I was sick all the time as a kid. And the other thing was my father leaving that kind of like shaped me. And kids will sometimes say, would you become a writer without those things? And I always say, I don't think so. So I'm not sure. I can't say for a fact. But those, you know, my father leaving is why, maybe part of why I write. And also writing about it helps me reach some kind of understanding of it. Even at this late age, I'm old now, 52. That happened when I was 6 years old, and I'm still turning it over and over, you know?
Right. Do you think that when you write a book like this, and it's safe to say that all books are personal, all books have you in them, but when you write something like this that becomes so personal, does it put it in a different league where you think about it differently than you do other work?
No. Also a very good question, because like you said, everything that you write is personal, even if you don't intend for it to be, you're revealing yourself. But ultimately, what I'm paying attention to always is where the story is smarter and, like I said, better than I am. So I'm just following the story. So the process feels the same. And out of the corner of my eye, I'm aware that, boy, I am really revealing myself here. But I still proceed the same way I do with every other story, which is letting the story tell me. Does that make sense?
It does. It does make sense. And
you're a good listener.
Well, thank you. when you get to, when you come to the event, like you'll be coming to Saratoga, and your audience is kids, it's also adults. And I would imagine that when you have a book like this, particularly, that as you described a moment ago with the experience of going around and talking to kids with a PowerPoint demonstration, that the questions do get personal, and there is a moment there that you're still learning and wondering and thinking, even though the book is in the stores.
Yeah, and every time I step out, you're right, those questions, they're personal anyway, even prior to this book, but they'll be more personal now, and they'll be more a deeply emotional experience for me, because what happened quite often in doing the PowerPoint with kids was there would always be a kid who would come up afterwards and want to tell me about what happened with their missing parent. And so this will be like one more way for me to connect to people, you know, and I hope I don't cry up on stage, but who knows? You never know what an introvert's going to do on stage.
Well, it's to see now, send that to publicity. You've totally sold it. Now we're going to go and just to see how you fare on that stage on Friday night. The new book is Raimi Nightingale. It is a beautiful novel. Kate DiCamillo is going to be at a Northshire Bookstore event on Friday, next Friday, April 15th at 6 o'clock at the Saratoga City Center. And you can find out more information about the event by going to the Northshire website, which is northshire.com, northshire.com. And we also have a link on our website at wamc.org/roundtable. Kate DiCamillo, it'll be a great pleasure to have you in town. Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning, and safe travels.
Thank you for the great conversation.
A great pleasure.
You take care.
Thank you. Again, Kate DiCamillo will be in our region next Friday as she presents her new novel, Raimi Nightingale, in a Northshire Bookstore event on Friday, April 15th, 6 o'clock at the Saratoga City Center. And you can find out more information by going to northshire.com. The novel, Raimi Nightingale, was published by Candlewick Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.